About 18,000 people are homeless in Massachusetts. One-third of them are individual or unaccompanied adults. Most stay in shelters. The adult shelter system here is a mishmash of facilities with different levels of state funding, varied approaches to helping people, and different rules for entry. As a result, many people leave the area where they were when they became homeless and go to other cities to find shelter. It has some city officials and shelter providers wondering if they're carrying too much weight in fighting homelessness. WBUR's Lynn Joliker has more on what some advocates say is needed to improve the system.
This is my bed. It's my home.
The home Chris Sheehan is referring to is the emergency homeless shelter in Quincy, Father Bill's place.
I have very big bags. I have a lot of clothes, which a lot of people aren't as fortunate to have the same thing.
62-year-old Sheehan has been staying at Father Bill's for a year. She became homeless after a series of events with her job and family. She's hoping to revive her career in human services, but even if she does, she can't afford the rent on most apartments.
Housing's really an issue on the South Shore for a lot of working professionals. Economically, it's just really difficult to get first, last, and security all together. It's stressful, I'm not going to lie, it's stressful.
But there's one thing Sheehan doesn't have to worry about. Her bed at the shelter is reserved for her every night. Father Bill's president and CEO, John Yaswinski, says the shelter's 24 women's beds are always full.
We're averaging, you know, anywhere from 35 to 40 women a night, so we're putting them in one of our conference rooms to sleep on the floor.
A couple of dozen men sleep on overflow mats in the cafeteria because all 65 of the men's beds are taken every night. Father Bill's and its sister facility in Brockton, Mainspring House, are what's known as low-threshold shelters. They take pretty much anyone, including people who are intoxicated and those with criminal records. They don't perform criminal background or sex offender registry checks. Many shelters in Massachusetts have stricter rules. 21 of the 39 emergency adult homeless shelters funded by the state require sobriety.
Excuse me, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
That's one reason people come to Father Bill's in Mainspring from all over the place. In the last fiscal year, 21% of people who arrived at the shelters came from outside the program's service area, which covers 41 South Shore cities and towns. Father Bill's in Mainspring tries to get those people back to where they're from within 3 days with a place to stay. Yaswinski says he doesn't have the funds to keep sheltering everyone who comes looking for help.
Right now we're getting per bed about $29 a bed, and it's costing us around $42 per bed per day.
The $29 per bed per day from the State Department of Housing and Community Development is meant to cover 126 beds, according to Yaswinski. But Father Bill's in Mainspring has 210 beds and serves about 260 people every night.
So the state's paying less than half of the need that comes in. And that's pretty consistent across the Commonwealth when we've looked at the data, is that the state is paying for maybe about 50% of the need for homeless individuals across the Commonwealth.
Shelters get most of the rest of their funding from the federal government, donations, and grants. Adult homeless shelters started springing up around Massachusetts about 40 years ago. Each one negotiated its own contract with the state. The reimbursement rates among shelters vary to this day. The piecemeal approach has resulted in shelters with different rules and levels of service. Joe Finn, executive director of the advocacy and policy organization Massachusetts Housing and Shelter Alliance, says there isn't a clear-cut way for everyone to enter a shelter near them and get a bed.
Oftentimes, there's some deal of confusion about entry points and where people can actually walk in and access resources or services. We need to be able to have some type of systemic approach around entry points across the state.
The shelter system for homeless families is much more standardized. Massachusetts has a right to shelter law for families with children and pregnant women. The system is fully funded and managed by the state, and families can apply for shelter at offices around Massachusetts or by phone. Some homeless service providers wonder if the state should do more to help coordinate the adult shelter system. The executive director of the State Interagency Council on Housing and Homelessness, Lynn Tordo, says officials are listening to providers' concerns.
There may be providers who may feel that they're underfunded and they do need more money. I totally get that, totally understand that.
But, Tordo says, more state involvement in the individual adult shelter system could have undesired results. shelters losing some control.
I do think that one of the features of the individual system is its ability to be nimble and flexible. Because only 40 to 60% of the budget is state funded, they are able to do some things that the family shelter system can't do because it's exclusively state funded.
The state is assessing shelter capacity, according to Tordo. The goal is to make sure every region has enough low-threshold beds, the ones people with active addiction and criminal records can access. Tordo says the Interagency Council is also working to improve discharge protocols for people coming out of state prisons and mental health programs, as well as private psychiatric hospitals that contract with the state. Right now, some people get discharged with inadequate support plans and end up immediately homeless. And state officials are launching a new system to collect data on people using the shelter system. That will allow them to identify trends in homelessness, and it'll help providers coordinate care for homeless adults who move from region to region. But some advocates say the state needs to re-envision the mission of adult homeless shelters. And that means setting reimbursement rates that cover all of the different kinds of services a shelter should be offering. Again, John Yaswinski from Father Bills and Mainspring.
What we're doing is we're managing homelessness and we're not ending it. It's just, please, just get everybody indoors, which is great, but we're struggling to keep up with that demand. What we need is a triage rate where we're going to not focus just about giving somebody a bed tonight, but the resources are going to be all about getting somebody out of here to be able to do assessments, to rapidly rehouse people.
The state has allocated $10 million over the last 2 years for rapid rehousing. That's a program that gives short-term rental assistance to get people out of homelessness quickly. But even if shelters get more comprehensive resources, Joe Finn from the Housing and Shelter Alliance says there aren't enough places for people to go after shelter.
I would love to see a system where we could immediately process and triage someone and place them in housing. The unfortunate truth is that there's insufficient housing opportunities at this point to do that. So even as effective as some of our housing programs are, programs that are serving this population, all of them are stretched in terms of housing people in a timely fashion.
Those programs are part of a model known as Housing First. The whole goal is to quickly place people in housing at the same time as providing support services to help them address the issues that led to their homelessness. Those include addiction and employment struggles. It's the opposite of the old approach of making people solve their problems before getting housed. Lyndia Downey is president and executive director of Pine Street Inn in Boston, which provides shelter and permanent supportive housing for adults. She says housing is one of the many issues the state, municipalities, and homeless service providers need to address together.
This is a big, big conversation that we need to have broadly, frankly, about all the pieces that we need regionally. And then I think there's the question of even, you know, if there's resources available, do communities want to do this? And are they willing to step up and think about supportive housing, think about shelter differently?
Advocates hope that conversation leads to a shelter system people anywhere in the state can easily access to then find a pathway to a permanent home. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.